You know, at the men's event a couple of weeks ago, they played that song Revival, and I had to cool off the keyboard a little bit that night. And it, I mean, I had to cool it off, and it just got it back, got it cooled off, and then Marv, he took off again. So we had to cool it off, huh? You know, here's the deal. Don't be afraid of having joy in worship. Did you know that's the second thing listed in the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. And God wants us to have fun. He wants us to have fun. And I've started calling Marv Jerry Lee ever since the men's event. And I asked him if he was going to start playing it with his foot. You know, that kind of hurts, you know, pull something there. And he didn't do that, but... Man, I just love having joy, but there's also a time, you know, that we get more solemn in our worship. But it's okay to laugh, and it's okay to have joy. And if you're here this morning, I hope that you're having joy in this place. Hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. And we just invited the Holy Spirit. I certainly hope that you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. If you are new to our church, if maybe this is your first Sunday, maybe you've been a few times, but haven't, you know, you've been kind of under the radar, that's okay. An offer to you, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would really enjoy knowing that you were here. And we're last week we tried something a little different. I'm gonna try it for a while. At the end of the service, I'm going to invite you, if you're newer to the church or perhaps your first visit, I'm going to be out in the foyer close to the donuts. I won't be having any donuts. I resist. But I'll be down at this end of the foyer after the worship service if you want to come and visit with me. And Billy will be kind of staking out here in the front if people have prayer needs. And of course, I'm available for prayer as well. But I will be out there, and you can bring your blue card to me there. And visit with me, or you can leave it in your seat there if you want to do it that way. Turn with me if you would. Also, by the way, if you come and meet me, I've got a free gift for you. I'm just saying, okay? You know, if bribery works, I do have, and it's not a gag gift. I got the real deal, man. I got a gift for you. So come and see me. Matthew 25. Now, it won't be, when it comes on the screen, it won't be in red, but if you had a red-lettered Bible, you would be reading this in red, which means, implies, these are the words of Christ. Chapter 25, we're going to pick it up in verse 14. Now, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven, which, by the way, he does often. He speaks of the kingdom of heaven all the time. John the Baptist came and said, "I am proclaiming the kingdom." I mean, he was kind of launching the kingdom. Jesus came and he said, "The kingdom of heaven is here." And then throughout the Gospels, he's constantly teaching the kingdom of heaven is like, and it's like this, and it's like that. And so this is what this passage is about today. Jesus said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't we want to hear that someday? You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's in happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I want to say that again. I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We have invited you here. We know that you are here. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So this past Thursday, I was had a conference meeting, district meeting, I guess it was, in Lubbock. So I was driving. I got up early Thursday morning, drove to Lubbock, and had my meeting, and drove back that day. I was between Post and Slayton on the way up there. If anybody, I think that's Highway 84, a long old stretch. You know, it helps a little bit now that you can drive a little faster. Back in the 55 days, it'd be like, you know, kind of, anybody ever feel that way? But now that you can go 75, it's a little bit more bearable, but it's a long stretch. And I remember I was driving down one of those long stretches, and it was just the plains, and it was just as far as the eye could see. You could just look. And I saw these geese. Has anybody been seeing the geese? All you got to do is, my office overlooks the pond out here, and there'll be hundreds out there on the pond here lately. So I see these geese coming in the V pattern, and they're coming from the south, and they're headed north. And then I'm driving, and I'm kind of watching what do you call a group of geese? A what?
Gaggle.
A gaggle? That's a dumb word. I'm not going to use that. All right. A bunch of geese were flying. That's not really that dumb. Anyway, so I'm watching them flying, and it's just kind of cool watching them, you know, and they're all in their V pattern in such tight formation. And then I look, and just a few hundred yards behind them, here comes another gaggle of geese in their V pattern. And then I look a little bit beyond them, maybe a few hundred yards behind them, here comes another one. And I mean, I'm driving for a while, and here comes another one. And here comes another one. And as far as the eye could see, there were just geese in these formations coming. And y'all know why. I mean, most of you probably know why they fly in the V pattern, right? From what I read, it allows them, the leader in the point allows them, the rest of them, they'll each goose back will be slightly higher than the one in front in that pattern, and they catch a draft and allows them to fly many, many more miles when they fly together in a group in that pattern. And what happens is, from what scientists or whatever have been able to determine, is the goose in front will rotate, and they'll bring in another one, and then when that one has done it for a while, then they'll bring in another one. So I was thinking about this, and I'm watching these geese, and I'm just kind of, you know, just kind of hanging out with the Lord. And this question came to my mind. What if one of the geese, what if one of the geese, that sounds kind of odd, but what if one of the geese refused to take its place at the point? I mean, can you just imagine? I mean, it's like, you know, you're like, hey, it's your turn, buddy. And it's like, I'm out. I like being behind the point. I don't like being in the point. I'm gonna stay back here because I'm kind of in the drift. What if one of the geese refused to take their turn at the point? What do you think would happen? That's the question that came to my mind. So I'm going to conclude my sermon series today, Count Me In. And we've been talking about servanthood, Count Me In. We've been talking about servanthood, and today's message is faithful servant, faithful servant. Now, when I started this series, you can go back, and by the way, I want to plug our website. We've got a great website, wileymethodist.org. They would be mad at me for saying this, but Arliss and Terry Wright do that and do a fabulous job with it. Thank you guys for all your hard work on that. We also have an app. Billy maintains that app and does a great job with it, and it's Wiley Methodist app, and you can always, there's all sorts of information on both of those sites, but you can go and look at past sermons and different things like that. But the week one of this series, I talked about, in fact, the title of the sermon was Servant or Consumer. And so we, you know, we have to understand, first of all, what a servant is, and then we have to determine, am I a servant? You know, Christ set us the example of being a humble servant, a selfless servant, someone who put others' needs before his very own. So we have to kind of wrestle with that. Where do we fit in that servant versus consumer balance? Today I will say this about the passage that we're going to be studying today that I just read, Matthew 25. This is a tough teaching. We like the first half of it, don't we? We like that well done, good and faithful servant. But there's a second half to the parable that Jesus tells. Now again, please, this is not a, I hope that no one receives this message as a scolding message, because we have an incredible church. I say that all the time, and I mean it. You guys are servants. But I think God is constantly challenging us to step it up. I don't think we're ever where God would have us to be as far as our heart for servanthood. So first, let's understand the characters of this parable, this difficult parable that we are studying today. First of all, this is the way I read it, and some of you may read it differently. It's interesting how parables sometimes can be, you can have different interpretations of what you think it means and what maybe God's speaking to you that it means. But in my mind, Jesus is the master. Now, Jesus spent some time on this earth, and then he, after the resurrection, he ascended back to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit, and he said, he left with this message, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And he entrusted something to us. So Jesus is the master, and we are the servants. We are the servants. And then lastly, this property that's been entrusted to us is the gospel. That's the way I see it. Now, we each have different giftedness. This passage, this parable, is not about money. If you thought you were going to get a money sermon, the only one who's disappointed probably is Naomi, our financial secretary, it's not a money sermon. But he's not talking about money here. I believe that he's talking about what we've been entrusted with is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Now, and so the question is, as Jesus teaches this parable, there's two receivers of the gospel. But, you know, when you receive the gospel, there's two types of people that receive it. Now, the first one is, and we like this one, good and faithful servants receive the gospel. And as I said earlier, I don't know about you, but when I meet my Maker face to face, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, man, can you just imagine? You know, a powerful thing to tell your children, by the way, and I hope my children know this about me, I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. Doesn't that feel good when someone that you hold in high esteem says, and not that my kids hold me in high esteem, but that's another sermon next week. But someone that you respect and hold in high esteem, when they say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And how much will that mean to us when Jesus looks us in the eye and says, I'm proud of you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness in this kingdom that he's speaking of. So that's the good part of this parable, the fun part. But then, and these are Jesus' words, so if you got, you know, be mad at him, not me. Here's the second receiver of this gospel, this property that's been entrusted. Wicked, lazy, worthless servants. Hello. Now, I got to be fair to you because I'm kind of at heart. I tend to be a people pleaser. I would never use that language. But Jesus did. I would never, you're a wicked, lazy, worthless servant. I mean, I just wouldn't use that. But Jesus did. He's trying to tell us something. You got good and faithful servants, and you got wicked, lazy, worthless servants. And there's consequences. So this gospel, this property is, I've entrusted it to you. What are you doing with it? And to the one who hoarded it. And you'll hear me say this quite often. The Christian life, it's not to be saved by Christ is not to get our ticket into heaven and stick it in our pocket. Remember the Sunday I printed y'all all a ticket? Does anybody still have their ticket? I had somebody that carried it in their wallet, and I was being sarcastic with that deal. It's like, do we get a ticket to heaven because of the grace of Jesus Christ, and do we stick it in our pocket and go, that's mine, I'm good, I've consumed what I need to consume, and we just go on about our business? Or, you know, that's not the intent of the gospel. The gospel is to be shared. And so we have these two receivers of this property, this gospel. We have good and faithful servants, and we have wicked, lazy, worthless. That's a tongue twister. Wicked, lazy, and worthless servants. And there's consequences to that. Now, I want to read a couple of passages here that deal with that. The problem is sometimes we think that our servanthood is somehow attaining our salvation, and that's just not scriptural. It's not true. Our salvation, and listen to what Scripture says in Ephesians 2. It says this: it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we are saved by grace through faith. That's what puts us in right standing with God. But listen to the rest of that very same verse, in the next one, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, which another word there is his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So he just said we're saved by grace through faith, and then he said, but we're created to do good works. And our good works, our servanthood, it brings glory to God. And I would say that the opposite of that is if we're wicked, lazy, worthless servants, we do damage to the gospel. We just do. We just do damage to the gospel if we're all talk. Okay, so that's Ephesians 2, what I just read for you. We're saved by grace through faith, but we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But listen to this in James chapter 2. It says this: what is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Have you ever heard the old saying, the proof is in the pudding? That's what that means. You say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Does your life show it? I mean, that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Does our life show it? Are we consumers? Are we servants? What if one of those geese refused to take their turn at the point? You know, because all the rest of that V is benefiting from the one at the point. It allows them to fly further and longer and last longer, where they don't have to land and rest. Because when they're doing it right and when they're sharing that point, they're more effective. So that was the question that God gave me as I watched the geese. He also gave me this question for each of us to ask ourselves. What if God's kingdom only had people like me and you? What if everybody, every believer in Jesus Christ, everyone in the kingdom of God was like me? I want you to ask yourself that. Ooh, deathly silence. That's rough, isn't it? What if God's kingdom only had people like me? Would there be anyone to pray for you? Would we have anyone to work with our children? Would we have anyone to prepare and serve food to us on Wednesday nights for funerals? Would we have anyone that does the not so glamorous things like wash the dishes, wipe down tables, clean up spills, unplug, stop toilets? Here we go. Naomi, is Naomi here today? I think they're out. She would be. Y'all tell Naomi I said this. What would our finances look like as a church? Could we do ministry? Could we have done what we did for Bethel last week? If everyone was like me, like you, would we have leaders for our Sunday school classes and community groups? Would our sanctuary be clean for us on Sunday? Would visitors be greeted? Would there be anyone to work at the food pantry? And on and on and on. What if the kingdom of God only had people just like me and you? That's the question God asked me. He asked me, I believe he asked me to ask you that question, to reflect on that. Now this is, please don't, I want this to be really clear. God loves you. and I'll put myself, he loved me when I was a slug. You know, and he loves you. If you're a slug, he loves you. He just does. This may not apply, but it's come to my mind. One of our children this morning asked me, why didn't God just kill Satan? All right, I want some of you to let's form a line right here. We're going to get some people to answer that. Why didn't God just kill Satan? That's a great question. The only thing I can come up with is like, because God is love. I mean, even when you're Satan, even when you're a wretched sinner, even when you rebel against God, even when you are covered in shame, the shame of sin, and God just loves. So I don't want us to get, but he also, I don't want us to get that confused with, but he also has a purpose for us as his people. And if you ask, this is my answer to the question of what on earth are we here for and why do we exist? What's the meaning of life and the purpose of life? I believe it can be summed up like this, to bring glory to God. I believe everything we do should bring glory to God, whether people are watching or whether they're not. If we're alone by ourselves with our computer, we should be bringing glory to God. If we're out where everybody sees us, we should be bringing glory to God. So the question is, what will Jesus say to us? What will Jesus say to us? Well done, good and faithful servant. Are you wicked, lazy servant, worthless servant? So will you take your turn at the tip of the V, church? And as I say this, I look around the room and so many that are here and so many that aren't here, this church is covered up with servants. We saw it last week in the testimony of Chris, how people have served Chris and Karen. And I know many of you have testimonies that you could give about the goodness of God's people shown through this church. But again, I believe God is challenging us to take it all to another level. Here's the, I had a call from a friend this weekend, and this particular person was just overwhelmed. They just said, I need you to pray for me. I just need to kind of share some things. He said, man, I got this going on in my life. I got this going on. I got this going on. I got this going on. And my head's about to explode. And so I had him list, okay, tell me all the things going on. And a bunch of them were really good things. Most of them were really good things. And I believe this to be true for most of us, the reason I'm bringing it up. I said, well, yeah, it looks to me like you got to make some choices. Because there's only, and I say this about myself, there's only so much Jeff to go around. And you can put your name in there. You know, we are limited by time and space. We are human flesh and blood. And so what happens, I believe, the reason that when we fail, I don't think it's generally for us to fail at being servants. I don't think it's a heart thing in most cases, at least the people that I know in this church. I think it's, I'm just exhausted. Hello. Is anybody relating yet? I'm just exhausted. I don't have anything left to give anybody. I mean, the water line is right here, and I got to keep my head tilted back so that I don't drown myself. And I told this person that called me, I said, dude, you gotta make some choices. You know these three things you listed. You know those God wants you. And they were things like, you know, being, you know, a daddy, being a husband, being a daddy. You know God wants you to do well at those things. Being a godly man, you know God wants you to do well at those things. And then it was all the other rest of the list were things that were, they weren't bad, but they were things that could either be on the list or not be on the list. And I said, got to make some choices. If we want to truly be a faithful servant, I believe God is saying, is your life too busy? I mean, man, I think that's one of the enemy's secret weapons, in all honesty, church. I believe that's one of his secret weapons against all of us, is busyness. If he can keep us busy enough, we don't even have time to be a faithful servant. So if you would, just kind of bow your heads with me. And so the question I want you to kind of reflect on, will you take your turn at the front of the vide? And if you haven't been taking your turn, then ask the Lord why. What is it in my life that's standing in the way? Father, you are so good to us. I ask forgiveness for myself for placing other things in front of you. Reveal those things to me, Lord, and then give me the courage to set priorities. Help me to be the servant you've called me to be, because, Lord, I think all of us want to hear those words, good and faithful servant. Well done. Show us how. May we be a fruitful people. May we bring you glory with our lives. Convict us, Lord, if we need to be convicted. Teach us, because I know we need to be taught. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want to pray with him, Billy will be here in the front after the service. I will be out there. We'd love to meet with anyone who is newer to the church, would like to meet me and talk with me or pray with me and anything at all. If Jesus Christ, the most important thing is, do we know the Master? Do we know, has he entrusted the gospel with us? And if you have not made that decision, man, what a great day to do that. So let's stand as we close. I confess that we faithful servant.